It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay, so we might be screwed.
Why?
Because I lost the flash drive that I used to transfer the podcast from the work computer to the regular computer.
Oh, I see.
So you and I might be the only ones ever to see or hear this.
Oops.
My thought was we'd just do multiple files that would be small enough to send, but then I remembered the power of recording to the cloud. Mm. So that's what's happening now.
Okay.
It may still slow things down, in that it takes a while for the cloud to later send an email, say, here's your recording. Oh. So, this could be a mess. Like, I don't have enough trouble today.
Yeah. What is that exactly?
It is apparently the inside of the mouth of a sea turtle.
Really?
Supposedly. But the internet seemed to think it was to filter out stuff, like filter krill like whales do, but sea turtles don't eat krill. They also don't eat any, those aren't teeth. I don't know what those are. Mm. It's very weird.
And somewhat disturbing.
Yeah, too.
I can say that the people who only listen to our podcast are very fortunate.
I mean, look up the inside of a sea turtle's mouth, and that's what my background is.
That's what you looked up?
No. I found out somebody else. I actually just looked up inside a giant mouth. And this was the first one I came across that didn't actually have a picture where somebody was inside it, because I didn't want anybody else. It was my background. But I mentioned over an email that my background for a particular meeting was going to be the inside of a sea turtle's mouth, because I had found this. And somebody who joined the meeting said, yep, that's what that is, because they apparently had looked it up online. So other people can look up the inside of the sea turtle's mouth, and they'll be able to see what they can't see because it's not on YouTube, or we didn't go to YouTube, or what.
Okay.
I keep imagining somehow I'm going to find the flash drive. I need to stop doing that. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Magical Talking App Podcast. Only podcast coming to you live from inside the mouth of a giant sea turtle. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 477.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that because 77, that's your birth year.
That is true. It's a little weird that you need some sort of mnemonic device to remember a 3-digit number that you must have just looked up.
But I do. So.
Thank goodness I was born when I was. I don't know what the fuck you're going to do next week.
Right? What am I going to do?
From now on, it's going to be, Tony was born in 77, and it's been this number of weeks since I figured that out.
Probably something like that.
Oh, goodness gracious. I used to have a pin, like an ATM pin. And so, like when you were asked for a 4-digit pin, I had this particular one. And it was based on the premise that my father was a certain age in a certain year.
Okay.
It was not accurate. But it was like he was the closest person to being around that age. So that was what in my head. So this many years old in this year. So it was four digits. So when I'm sitting around talking with my mom when I was out there, she's talking about how she doesn't have the things for him. She doesn't know a lot of his information because she put her stuff in the safety deposit box and he puts his stuff in a pile wherever he was sitting at the moment. And so she's talking about for, I don't know. Somehow I got mixed up in the conversation and I thought she was trying to figure out what his PIN was for something. And in my brain, for some reason, I had associated that PIN with my dad because my dad had had it first and had told me or something. I don't know. The more I say this, the more this sounds like a dream I had, but this was real. But what's really bad is at that point, she's like, what are you talking about? And I was like, for PIN. She said, no, the last four digits of his social security number. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's probably not that. That would be a weird sudden coincidence if that's what it was. So, yeah, I'm an idiot.
Did she remember it?
I think so. I mean, the good thing about all this paperwork is it's in the house. So she'll be able to find it. But no, it was mostly because the next day she was calling Social Security or I don't know. My dad set up a lot of his things, including his pension and his Social Security, where he would take less money, but it would keep paying out through both their lives. And so she was needing to make some calls to let them know to, you know, switch it up because it was hers now.
Right.
And she's like, I have no idea what information they're going to want from me. I know some things, but other things, I don't know where they are. So. Anyway, for those of you just joining us, here's how this show works. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. People who listen, people who watch, good people, kind people, random people sometimes, write in to that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, topics, questions, things like that. Wow, the inside of this turtle's mouth really brings out the color in my cheeks. You look very pale by comparison. You should have a turtle mouth.
I should have a turtle mouth, you think?
Yes.
Oh, no, the hat. I don't think it'll look as good on me.
I've always thought of you as kind of a turtle. The hat magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. Me and William draw the note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored. Do that for about an hour, and that's the whole show, except the parts that aren't, which is honestly most of it. And I'm going to have a White Claw. Oh, and I'm going to have this lime one, too, which is gross.
Well, if you don't like these, why do you keep drinking them?
I don't want to waste them, and also alcohol.
Oh, so you've got like a lot of them just there.
I bought a pack of them. I bought a variety pack. I'm really frustrated about this flash drive thing, so that has thrown me off. So I'm drinking to ease my emotions.
Okay. Self-medicating again.
Exactly, exactly. But this time I'm recording it for posterity.
Well,
which no one may ever see if we can't get a tour. How's your week been? Did you go anywhere fun? We finished gaming the other night, and I was like, okay, are we all good next Tuesday? And one of my friends was like, no, we're going to see a concert. And I totally bought it. And then they're like, seriously, where the hell are we going to go? This bit of hair is bugging me.
I didn't go anywhere. We've been watching some stuff.
What you been watching?
Hey, were you going to ask me about the Medieval Times thing? What that was
What was that like? I am fascinated by Medieval Times because, like, the kid in me is like, this is such a cool idea. And like, you get to see, and it's like real medieval stuff and all that. And it's, and then the adult me is like, I'm familiar and I've seen the prices and like, it sounds terrible.
Terrible?
I don't, it, the little kid in me thinks you get to wear a crown. The adult in me knows it's a paper crown, not unlike the one you'd get at Burger King.
Yeah, it's exactly like that.
I feel like that metaphorically is the best way I can explain my whole feeling about it.
Okay, well, now, so I went twice. I went in Orlando, and I went in Chicago, or that suburb of Chicago, or whatever, wherever.
Now, why did you go both of these times? Because you were like, hey, medieval times. I want to go to medieval times.
Yeah.
Really? Both times?
Yeah.
Just, you were just like, there was not an occasion or like a, someone invited you. You were just like, medieval times, I'll go there.
Well, I mean, okay. So the reason I was in Orlando was my wife and I went down there for all the reasons people go to Orlando. We went to Disney World. We went to lots of places.
When was this?
It's like 20 years ago.
Okay.
One thing we went to see down there was, at the time we were, really excited about the Truman Show, you know, that, movie with,
Jim Carrey.
Yeah. Jim Carrey. And we knew it shot down there. So we wanted to see where it was shot. So we went there. Also, that was the first time I'd ever, well, I mean, when I was a kid, when I went to like New York City and stuff, I technically saw the ocean, but this was the first time I'd like been on a beach, you know, and seen the ocean like that. I wasn't just looking out at a bay or whatever. It was like the Gulf of Mexico or whatever.
Yeah.
So for me, psychologically anyway, it was like the first time really visiting the ocean in a real way on a beach or whatever. So that was part of that trip too. But yeah, we went to Disney World, Epcot Center and all that stuff down there. And yeah, we went to medieval times down there.
Were you a vegetarian at this point?
Yes.
How did that work?
Well, they have a vegetarian option.
What is it?
I don't remember. I remember it being fantastic. It was great, whatever it was.
Because they have a very set menu.
Yeah, and including and
chicken is in the middle of that.
Including a vegetarian option. It's just, it's like they offer. I mean, I didn't have to like talk to them when I got there or anything. When we made the reservation and we were both vegetarians at the time, we just asked for the vegetarian option. It was just a thing. It was outstanding. That's all I remember about it, was that it was really good. And then we went, I don't know how long it was later, but this time with the kids. The kids weren't with us when we went to did all this stuff in Disney World. They were with their dad. We just went by ourselves. That was like the first big thing that we did together, kind of vacation thing we ever did together, was going down there. And so we went again. I like a year or two later maybe. And that time we went with Mick, you know.
Oh, okay.
Our friend Mick. Because we were also going to Six Flags. Over there.
Six Flags, Great America, I believe. Yep.
Great America, right. And, but yeah, I mean, both times we went, I mean, yes, there were other things we were doing, but we wanted to go there. We both really wanted to go to it. Because, I mean, we just thought it sounded cool. My wife is into equestrian stuff. You know, she had a horse when she was younger, and so that was part of it. But we're both interested in medieval history, too. I mean, there's a little bit of that in the show. I mean,
it is based off of a particular period and place, and yeah.
Yeah, and there's falconing that's done, so you get a demonstration of some like medieval style falconing, or, you know, training, like the kind of stuff they would do to train the falcon or whatever. So that was cool. But a lot of the horsemanship is like, you know, the real deal, you know, putting the lance through a brass ring and stuff like that. So there was that part of it was interesting. But I mean, I realized for most people, the food is as big and sometimes even a bigger draw than the show. So for someone to be a vegetarian and go, sometimes people are like, well, why would you do that? But they had a really good vegetarian option.
See, the menu doesn't look super exciting to me.
Well, the
chicken
thing is,
and some potatoes and bread.
Well, I mean, the people I talk to who have, you know, that, I mean, it's like really good, they say. I mean, it may seem simple, but it's very well prepared and it tastes very good. In fact, I guessed after I talked to you last week, I guessed this, but I asked my wife also, hey, you know, do you ever want to go to medieval times again? And she said exactly what I expected she'd say, completely unprompted, which was yes.
Get out of my room.
Especially because I want to have
try the meat.
Yeah, I want to have the meat this time. I knew she'd say that. Mm. But the food was, I mean, this was 20 years ago. I don't know if things are still the same, but
the price food, has probably changed.
Yeah, the food
it's
was great.
$75 a pop now per person.
Yeah, the food was great. The show was great. I mean, we totally thought it was worth it both times we went. We have these medieval times coffee mugs that we still use and, you know, drink tea and coffee and stuff in.
Now, I couldn't get clear on that. There's definitely a gift shop there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Some things not associated with medieval times seemed to imply that there was a sword shop as well, or like a person who makes swords and you could buy them?
Well, I'm trying to remember.
But like at the price swords cost, so like really expensive.
Sure. Now, again, we went to Orlando and Chicago, which, I mean, that's interesting that we had a positive experience in both places. It wasn't like they were radically different from one another, or one was a good experience and one was a bad experience. I don't remember if both of them had gift shops with really cool things in them. I don't remember if both of them had sword. The Orlando thing definitely had swords.
But was somebody making swords, or they just had swords?
I mean, nobody was there making them. I don't, or at least.
Okay, because I feel like that's the thing, is I saw this other places, but I feel like that would be a big thing you would put on their website, and it's not on their website, so I wasn't really sure.
Yeah.
But so there are swords, okay.
Right, and a lot of different price points. Like some of the swords are not expensive, but they're also not very nice. And some of them
are. Could you buy a horse?
Expensive. No, I don't think so.
Or a lance or a falcon?
No.
Can I buy a knight?
I mean, you might be able to buy other weapons besides swords, like a Morningstar or something, or a mace.
Sweet.
Maybe. But yeah. I mean, I can't speak.
I think I'm going to have to check it out someday, but I don't know how, because I'm pretty sure Trish doesn't want to go.
I can't speak for the quality of everything now, but back in the day, you know,
it's long established. It's a decades old institution, and it's got like 8 different locations throughout the country. Like, it's a big deal.
I mean, do you like going like Renaissance fairs and stuff, or?
I have been to few, but yes.
I mean, it's kind of like that, except, well, I mean, it's pretty.
That's the thing. It's like that, except more commercial in my mind.
Oh.
And that sort of throws it off a little. I feel like there's a lot of things that would take you out of the moment.
Oh, not at all. Not at all. I didn't think so.
Interesting.
I mean, I suppose. I mean, yeah, I mean, I thought it was, in some ways, it was far more immersive than going to a jousting tournament at a Renaissance fair. Because, you know, the costumes are very cool looking. The weapons are very authentic. And, you know, the food is served in this sort of authentic way. I mean, whatever.
Yeah, and you don't get freaking utensils or whatever.
Right, like, and that's it. And all of the servers are dressed, you know,
I think we call them wenches, but yes.
And you, you know, and you cheer, like you sit in a section that
for your night, and you cheer for your night. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's kind of fun. And of course, if your night gets knocked out of the competition early, well, you can always, you know, root for, you know, whoever you want after that.
I 100% have a video I have to send you after this.
But what kinds of things do you think would be distracting or take you out of it?
I don't know. I mean, you're making me think I need to check this out for myself and see. I don't. I think. Well, that was a hot mess.
What happened?
It kicked me completely out, but then it brought me back in, and we're still recording. So that'll be interesting.
I didn't hear what you said.
You froze up, and I kept talking, but
like 5 seconds. I don't know what's going on here. My machine's acting weird now too. So you're just about to talk about why you think you might want to go or experience this.
Way early then.
Yes. I asked you, what about the experience did you think would take you out of it?
And I said, I feel like maybe in my head, I am underestimating the production values.
Well, like I said, 20 years ago, they were very good. There was music and the lights and everything. And it was pretty good. But I mean,
to be fair, I've never been to any restaurant that didn't have both music and lights.
For the show's purposes, I mean. I mean, you do have to be into it. I mean, if...
Yeah.
I mean, I can imagine if you show up and you're like... If you don't have the right mindset, that it could just all seem silly or dumb, or maybe, I don't know, but we were all into it. Both.
I might have to check it out. I may have to. I've always had the urge. But it is a lot of money, and I don't know. I just always felt like I'd be disappointed. But
well, you might be. I mean, I wasn't.
I don't know. You'll have to pay me back if I am.
But Trish isn't interested in going, you don't think?
I don't know that we've discussed it.
Oh.
In my head, she wouldn't be. But, I don't know.
If this were something...
I don't think she'd be opposed. Like, if I said I wanted to go, I think she'd be okay with going.
Oh, okay. If this were something you and I lived nearby, I would totally go with you.
Oh, if this was something I lived nearby, I would have been by now.
No question, I would go.
But Chicago's not that far, and we go to Chicago sometimes, so...
Yeah.
You'll have to check it out.
Have you watched The Expanse?
Yes and no. We watched, when it first came out, about 4 episodes. And we decided we were not into it. And we bailed.
When did you lose me?
Well, this is a nightmare.
I wonder where did we cut off?
I talked for great length about the Expanse, and you responded not at all. So, I'm guessing somewhere in there.
I think I must have started talking, thinking you were done talking.
Now you're breaking up. I can't hear you.
Oh, I can hear you. You can't hear me at all?
No, now I can hear you again.
What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Why is this happening?
Probably not have a podcast, but we'll see how this goes. In answer to your question, we watched about 4 episodes and we bailed. I have since, because everybody thinks it's amazing, thought about going back, but I've also thought about just switching to reading the books.
I have a feeling the books are very good.
You're going to have to move a lot during this podcast so that I know you're still there.
Okay. All right.
Anytime I pause, you don't even have to necessarily speak, but just like do this or something.
Okay.
At the time when Trish and I watched it, there were a lot of plot lines not connecting at that point. It was just a lot of plot lines. And we kind of didn't care about any of the plot lines. And we also kind of didn't like any of the characters. And so that was just a deadly combination. I have been told by people obsessed with it that to a degree, they see what I'm talking about in the beginning and that it does improve. I think it's sort of once you see... You're not moving.
Sorry.
Once you see sort of how everything ties together, it gets better, but I don't know. We'll see. We just noted that our list of things we have to watch together is kind of small, so.
Well,
we just started watching His Dark Materials. We are 2 episodes in on that.
Oh. Is that any good?
Yes. I have complex feelings about it. It's, again, you look frozen. I don't like that. It's deviating from the books a lot, but I haven't read the books in a while, so I have trouble remembering, and my brain will not stop doing the whole, like, was this in the books? Was this not? Is this?
Right.
And I'm like, shut up, just enjoy it. Also, it's having me sort of realize the very beginning of the trilogy, I don't like so much for a few reasons. One of the biggest ones is one of the major characters is really evil and sort of arbitrarily so. Like, they try and sort of give her, they give you a little bit of background, but for the most part, she's just evil, and I don't enjoy that. But production values, performances are great, and we're definitely going to keep watching.
What's that on?
HBO.
Oh, okay.
And we watched Crazy Rich Asians, because we've been meaning to watch that for a while, and so we finally did. Have you seen Crazy Rich Asians?
No.
See, so that I know you're not frozen up, you should ask me what I thought about it.
What did you think of it, Tony?
Tell me. You're still there.
Whenever you're finished, maybe I can talk about what I wanted to talk about in relation to Expanse. But
absolutely not.
We'll talk about what you want to talk about.
I don't trust you to not freeze up. So, it is a very good movie. For what it is. If you see the trailer to that movie and you think you will really like it, you will probably really like it. It is a good movie. I am not sorry I saw it. I enjoyed it. It's still a rom-com.
Right.
I don't like rom-coms.
Mm.
For specific reasons. And a lot of those reasons are in this movie.
I see.
And this movie is very much not for me. And consequently, I had a lot of issues with it. But they're rom-com issues. This movie itself is a great rom-com. And it's really, it's well shot. It's well acted. It's written. Great cast. Like, it's worth seeing if you think you would like to see it based on a trailer. But it is still a romantic comedy. So, sorry, what did you want to talk about The Expanse?
Well, I said, but I don't know if you heard me say that we thought we'd seen it before. Did you hear me say that?
No.
Yeah, we thought we'd seen it before, and we had a lot of people telling us we should see it. And we were like, well, we've already seen part of this, and we didn't like it. And then so there were so many people telling us we should watch it, we tried it again and realized we hadn't seen it before. So some of it...
You were mixing it up with the X-Men.
I don't know what it was, but it was some of the us looking in each episode to find what we, like, have we seen this before? Like the first four or five episodes, that carried us through just trying to figure that out. And then by that time, there were some characters that we kind of liked by then, and we were like, okay, well, we'll keep this up. And it's not, I suspect that the books are a lot better than the show. I'm tempted even to read the books. But one thing that annoys me about The Expanse is that...
so big.
No. Well, okay. It's called The Expanse, but there's nothing in the show that's particularly expansive.
Ah!
Nothing. I mean, they're in space.
I mean, space.
Yeah, but they don't do anything with space. Like they still have concepts like, you know, someone is floating alone in space, right? And you'd think, ooh, this is a good time to really emphasize that expanse thing. But they don't do anything. Like, they don't have a whole scene where this person's alone in space and they shoot it in a way that makes it seem horrifying or anything. No, they just cut right away from that person. And in no time, someone picks them up because they're on shipping lanes, which...
Spoilers.
How does shipping lanes work in space?
Oh, that's always been a sci-fi trope, though.
Okay, but if they're going to use sci-fi tropes, see, the whole thing about this...
It is meant to be sort of hard sci-fi, isn't it?
Exactly. That's the big selling point of this show is, oh, we're not going to do those sci-fi tropes, but then they do. And so you're like, well, then just do it. Like, one of the things that they're supposed to be celebrated for is how they treat gravity, like on the ship. If the ship's thrusters aren't on, you don't have gravity. And when the thrusters come on, you do, which makes sense, as long as the gravity seems to be pushing in the direction
opposite the thrusters.
Right. And that's not even clear always that that's what's going on. So that's a little bit of a problem. But when the thrusters aren't on and they're in microgravity or zero G, they have these magnetic boots that they get around in. Okay, fair enough. But there's so many inconsistencies. I mean, when they have the boots on, there's sound effects. There's Foley they put in so you hear them. Exactly. Yeah. But then they'll, like in one scene, the guy takes a gun out of a cabinet and puts it down on some flat surface and it just stays there.
Magnetic gun.
Wait a minute, guys. You're messing this up. And there's lots of things like that where they establish some rule and then it gets broken and it's really distracting to me. I mean, maybe other people don't notice it, but I notice it all the time. And it's like, look, you guys, if you're not going to do it, then just don't do it. Lots of sci-fi people, they don't bother. You know, nobody asks how there's gravity on ships in Star Wars. Nobody asks. So just don't do it.
I mean, to be fair, I feel like probably a lot of people do ask, and there's probably a whole website devoted to it. But I take your point.
All right.
All right.
But you see what I'm saying?
Yes. William, if you are wondering how they eat and breathe and other science facts, just repeat to yourself, it's just a show. You should really just relax.
What's that from?
That's from Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Well, and
that's
and
one of the lines in the theme song.
Then they do other things that, you know, like it's typical in sci-fi movies and shows for there to be sound effects while things are happening in space. That's fine. Yes. I don't have a problem with that. But when part of the show seems to be working so hard to be scientifically accurate and another part is so obviously not, it just doesn't make sense to me.
So you heard it here first from William. Do not watch The Expanse.
Well, it's terrible. Don't know. I don't know if people should watch it.
Stu, in particular, is an obsessive fan.
Of The Expanse?
He is both watching the show and reading the books at the same time.
Well, again...
He's way into it.
I suspect the books might be pretty good.
You think the books have their Foley sound together?
Well, first of all, the books aren't going to have any of those problems, obviously. But there's some fundamentals to the story. And as far as I know, that each season go, like, there's been four seasons and they cover four books. And I think they like cover them fairly thoroughly. So if
yeah,
you like
doing a season a book, yeah.
Yeah, if you like the books, I can imagine you'd really like the show. Even the stuff that they don't get right, you probably wouldn't care because wow, here's the book on this show. And I think that would be really cool. And maybe I would like the shows better if I read the books.
If only you knew how to read.
But I mean, it's okay. And I don't think we would have watched four seasons of it if we couldn't have binged and they weren't short seasons, you know. But there's some of the acting's really good and there's some characters that we like, you know. And it's,
there are some actors on there that I like.
Yeah.
That I noticed in the four episodes that I watched, like actors I already knew that I liked.
But yeah, it doesn't really live up to all the stuff people told me about how great it was. It's no Battlestar Galactica, or which I really liked. I like Battlestar Galactica a lot. It's nothing like that. Doesn't seem like, but we might keep watching it actually, but I don't even know if we will.
If you think William's take on The Expanse is terrible, go to the blog and tell us. TheMagicalTalkingHat.com.
There were some other stuff too, but that was the only, that was the big one because, you know, it's such a thing everyone's talking about. And I presumed you'd either have seen it or people had told you you should.
Yeah. People have frequently told me I should.
I can't remember all the other stuff. Cause actually we finished Expanse like a couple of weeks ago and I didn't bring it up for obvious reasons. And there were several other things we watched, but I don't even remember what they all were. But did you have other things to talk about from your week and all that?
Yes.
Okay. Well,
I don't know how much time we have though.
Brother.
Last night Trish showed me, which I had never seen, Jesus Christ Superstar.
Oh, you'd never, like, not in live or anything, you'd never seen it?
Nope. I'm a Godspell kid all the way.
Oh.
But it wasn't just any Jesus Christ Superstar. This was the 2012 revival, essentially. Hmm. And specifically a live arena performance of it.
Oh.
That was done in Britain in 2012. And it's very specifically modernized.
Hmm.
It like there are hashtags in it. There's a lot of news stories. King Herod is running a game show. Like,
oh,
there's a lot of stuff. One of the most notable things for me, Judas is played by Tim Minchin. I'm trying to place him for people. The easiest way is if you saw that shitty 2018 Robin Hood, who played Friar Tuck in that. But I mostly know him as a sort of comedic musical person.
Okay.
He does lots of funny songs and stuff, but he's a serious musician. Fucker can sing. Like, serious. I was very impressed with his performance. Trish found it incredibly amusing because he's also an avowed atheist.
Oh.
But I'm like, yeah, no, I like Christian mythology also. I found the thing. I had a lot of issues with it that I think some of them stem from the play. None of them stem from this production, I don't believe. Oh, also, though, Melanie C. played Mary Magdalene. Melanie C., a.k.a. Sporty Spice.
Oh.
Yeah, that was weird, too. Apparently, the dude playing Jesus had been on a reality show where the prize was to play Jesus in this. We found that out later. But anyway. I had a lot of issues with it. Tim Rice does the lyrics. It's Andrew Lloyd Webber, but he just did the music. The lyrics were Tim Rice. The lyrics are terrible, in my opinion. There's so many really lazy, infantile rhyme schemes. It's just sad. But no, I have problems with it. And some of them I think are the play, and some of them may just be the Bible. Hard to tell.
Okay.
Not entirely sure what the point of this is. It's very much this is the Bible's gritty reboot. Oh. But everybody's a jerk, including Jesus. Jesus really kind of comes off like a dick. And I feel like that's not how you want to do that. And in general, the only thing I could get out of it is like it makes a strong argument against Christianity, in my opinion. But otherwise, I don't really see the point. Although there's also incredibly heavy homoerotic tension between Judas and Jesus, like really a lot. Like if you didn't know it was from, if you didn't know the backstory, as it were, you would absolutely think that's what's going on here. Is that they're partially mad at each other because they don't know how to admit that they really want each other. And there seems to be a point in the play where Mary Magdalene figures out that Jesus will never be that into her because he's clearly into Judas. And it's very weird. Yeah, but no. Not so much. It was a great performance of it. I think it's pretty terrible play. I'm also starting to learn I maybe am really kind of not an Andrew Lloyd Webber fan. Except for that's funny because Andrew Lloyd Webber, for the most part, just writes music. He doesn't generally do the lyrics, and he pairs up with a lot of different people to do lyrics, or sometimes just steals shit from T.S. Eliot. But yeah, and I think especially because I am such a Stephen Sondheim fan, he's really suffering by comparison to me. I don't know. But this is not what I want to talk about. Here's what I want to talk about.
Okay.
I'm dealt with my father's death. I've dealt with the fact that we're all stuck inside. So now the anthropologist in me is creeping out.
Okay.
And the anthropologist in me is incredibly fascinated by what people, celebrities, people in the media and so forth are doing to adapt to our current situation. To put it succinctly, quarantine versions of everything.
Okay.
So, I mean, it starts with Gal Gadot and that apparently really tone deaf in a variety of ways sing-along she and celebrities did,
yeah,
the song Imagine.
Yep.
But then there's, I recently watched, they did an episode of Parks and Rec.
Right.
And it's literally an episode. It's not just a reunion thing. It's an episode. It all takes place over Zoom, well, over a fake version of Zoom. Because everybody's quarantined, because it takes place now.
Right.
And everybody's quarantined. They did a tremendous job of coming up with excuses why characters that should be living in the same house were on separate feeds.
Oh, okay.
So, like, one was on a trip. One of the characters is a nurse, and so she was distancing from the family in a different part of the house. Chris Pratt's character locked himself in the shed, and so he was in there and stuff like this. But what I really love is, so Nick Offerman is out at his cabin. Ron Swanson's out at his cabin with the wife and kids that he has now, but they aren't on camera, of course, because why would they be? But at one point, his ex-wife is caught skulking around outside, and they get her, and they turn the camera, and she's actually there tied up to a chair. And I was like, how the hell did they do that? And then I'm like, oh, that character is played by Megan Mullally,
who
is actually his wife. So of course they're in the same place.
Yeah, she's his ex in the show, right?
Yeah. She's his second ex in the show. She's Tammy 2.
Oh, okay.
Patricia Clarkson is Tammy 1.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a long story. But anyway, also, most amazing thing, if anyone likes the Goonies movie, you need to do this. Josh Gad has his own YouTube channel just called Josh Gad. And he did a show that's only about 26 minutes long where he reunited all the surviving cast, including the ones who don't act anymore, plus the writer, Chris Columbus, the director, Richard Donner. Steven Spielberg showed up. And Cyndi Lauper, who did the theme song. And they're all there, and it's amazing. Absolutely watch it. And it's short. Like, it, part of why it's so cool is it's only like a half hour long. I think if they had stretched it out longer. But, and it's mostly – Josh is apparently trying to do this with others, but he started with Goonies because he's an obsessive Goonies fan. Because he was pretty young when it came out. But that was really fun to watch. And then, of course, I've talked before about Taskmasters doing this home tasking thing.
Yep.
That's really cool. I would recommend checking that out. I watched another one today, and that's been really fun. And it's just fun to watch the community get involved. But the one that is really getting to me now, Sunday night, they said they were doing a live Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Oh.
On a bunch of platforms. Facebook Live, Twitch, Twitter, streaming, YouTube. So I'm like, I'm gonna watch this. It was not very good, but it was fascinating.
Oh.
For a variety of reasons.
Okay.
I watched it on YouTube. First off, it's not, I didn't know most of these people. Joel Hodgson like hosted it, but he didn't really participate.
Oh.
And the people who did participate are from some sort of live tour they've been doing of Mystery Science Theater, which has different voices for the bots and a different human named Crenshaw, I think. The actress is named Emily. And a different Mad that's supposed to be a hybrid clone of a couple of the other Mads, and who also does the voice of Gypsy in this version. So it was a bunch of people I didn't know anyway. They weren't riffing on a movie.
Oh.
They were riffing on a first season, aka basic or public access cable episode of Mystery Science Theater 3000, including all the interstitial bits and including the original jokes on top. Was weird. And perhaps the weirdest thing, I've since found out they apparently did this on purpose. I thought it maybe was some sort of accident. On some feeds, on the YouTube feed in particular, they would have commercial breaks of like 2-3 minutes. And during that time, they left the audio feed running while they did shit behind the scenes. They literally were like, okay, that worked. Don't do that next time. We're sending you some fan submitted stuff here. At one point, one of them had a bloody nose and had to leave. Just what? Tons of weird stuff. Yeah, they're doing it. And she's like, I have to go for a minute. I have a bloody nose. I'll be right back. And so she left and she was back before the movie started again. But just bizarre and fascinating to me. Apparently, it had been sort of thrown together at the last minute.
But not funny.
I didn't laugh a lot. Original, like early, Mystery Science Theater has gotten better every season.
Sure.
I feel like that's kind of not negotiable. We can do the Joel versus Mike bit or whatever, but they just over time got better at doing it. And this was a first season. Like this was before Kevin Murphy was doing Servo. And so that wasn't great. And also they really did seem to be improving their riffs, like the new ones.
Yeah.
And so they didn't make a lot of them.
Mm.
They were quiet a surprising amount. and just sort of enjoying watching it. And I mean, I had a fun time. I'm not sorry I saw it, but I did, it was not a laugh heavy thing for me. It was much more interesting. The movie was kind of fascinating, too. It's a movie called Moon 02, and it's one of those – it was like night from 1970, and it's one of those great, like, here's what we think the future is going to look like, and it does not look anything like that. So that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
But I just find all this amazing, all these ways people are coming up with to try and do stuff online – to compensate sort of, and how hit and miss it is, and how some of it's really creative and some of it's really lazy, Some of it's really good. Some of it's really bad. Some of it appears to be very, I'm bored and need something to do. Some of it appears to be, I clearly am famous enough. I have a debt to keep people entertained. And some of it is very clearly, I'm a celebrity and I don't want you to forget about me while we're trapped in here, and everything in between. This is amazing to me. As somebody recently pointed out, this really is a moment in history. Like, yeah, they're going to study this later. Like, this is our first straight up worldwide plague in a few centuries. And maybe really our first one that's as this comprehensive. And that's really interesting to me. And what we're doing in response is also very interesting to me. So yeah, I'm finding all this very fascinating. I'm also playing way too much No Man's Sky. I'm playing a lot of No Man's Sky.
Too much, huh?
Yeah, because I'm playing so much, I'm starting to feel like burnout is close. Like, I'm going to be sick of this in about 5 seconds. But I'm not yet.
Yeah.
So that's weird, too. We should draw a thing, because we're running out of time here.
We are running out of time.
So, and I say we, but I got to do it, because you just got that hat on your head.
Yeah.
All right. This is from Stu. Noted mega fan of The Expanse. Stu. Stu asks, are podcast episodes backed up for prosperity? It says prosperity. I feel like it has to be posterity.
Yeah, probably.
I'm going to say autocorrect might have done that there. Is that important, or do you consider the podcast as more of a transient thing? Stu.
I mean, you don't back it up, do you?
Well, you don't do jack, I'm assuming.
I don't do anything.
No. It depends on your definition of backed up. Somewhere in this house, in this turtle mouth, there is a external hard drive.
Yeah.
On which are the first few hundred episodes.
Oh.
On my current laptop are the rest of the episodes.
Hmm.
They are not backed up from there. However, all the episodes, by definition, except if we have a mystery episode that we're saving, are on the website, like on the domain.
Right. So you could download them from there if you ever lost
in
them.
Theory, if a HostGator, which was hilarious, one day HostGator sent me a thing. It's like, protect the stuff on your website. I'm like, shouldn't you be doing that? I'm paying you. That's part of hosting, right? So yeah, thanks to HostGator, I'm nervous that maybe it's not. But yeah, in theory, it's all available there. And if that blows up, in theory, they back it up. I don't know. I guess I don't know HostGator's policy on that.
I think all of our all of the ones that we, those video ones we did,
those are on YouTube. But
yeah, and I think I also have them on like something like Google Drive or
Dropbox.
I think I've got them somewhere like that. I don't know where exactly, but I could find them if I had to. But I don't know why I'd ever have to.
Well, what about the second question? Do we care about the permanence of it?
Personally, no.
No, I want you to tell me how the people of the country. Yes, personally, I don't think I do either. I mean, if something happened, my computer blew up and I never found that hard drive and HostGator just dumped them one day, I'd be sad, I guess. Just because the content wouldn't be there for people.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't need them. This comes up too when I do my special timesheet reminders at work. People are like, are you collecting these? Are you saving them? I'm like, no, I'm not. It's a fun in the moment.
Yeah. I mean, one day we won't, you know, be doing this anymore. We'll, for whatever reason, and you will not be paying someone to host the website anymore for whatever reason. And if there's
just recently renewed the domain again, so
if after that happens, if they're anywhere, they're going to be listeners who downloaded it possibly, or I suppose there's some people somewhere that are capturing these things for whatever reason somewhere. But unless that happens, there will be a time where this stuff will just be gone.
Yeah, that's kind of true of absolutely everything on electronic format, though. Yeah. We've switched everything to incredibly unreliable, impermanent medium. But I don't know. I appreciate that they are a thing, and that in theory that thing has value. But to me, they're much more an experience. And I mean, for the listeners, it's a time delay experience. You could start listening now from the beginning, and that's a different thing. But they're an experience, and not a ton of people experience them. If we had thousands of listeners and then suddenly they were all gone, I'd be like, well, that's a problem, because they liked listening to them.
Yeah,
but right. I'm like, the people who want to listen to them mostly are listening to them. And so we don't need to go back and look. We've lived it, as it were. You, me, right, and all the hardcore, all the hard hats. We've also lived it.
As far as posterity is concerned, I mean, have we ever said anything or done anything in relation to this podcast that deserves?
That's the other, they're not very good.
Well, I mean, but it's not, I'm not really speaking to that. I mean, whatever quality a person thinks it is, but it's not like we don't really talk about the events of the day. I mean, there's nothing about any particular episode or set of episodes that's a time capsule of the way people lived in the early 2000s or something like that.
I wouldn't think so.
I mean, for most part, we avoid talking about current events mostly.
And it's very experiential. I mean, if we were sitting around having these conversations, even if like all the listeners, they probably could all fit in my living room. We wouldn't say like we should be recording this.
Yeah, right. That's right. We wouldn't be.
Like, we just would be talking, and that's what this is. I don't know. I make this joke all the time, but I'm very curious. If you have thoughts and feelings on this, go to the blog and tell us, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Is it a thing that you think should be saved and treasured or whatever? Or do you also feel that it's just sort of a thing? It's a thing we all do, and we did it, and it was just an experience. Yeah. I'm really curious. You and I have a perspective, but of course it's incredibly different from the listeners. So yeah, I'm very curious. But I can say for podcasts I have listened to, I tend to have no interest in like saving them, with the exception of if it's something that really like cracks me up such that I can listen to it repeatedly and it cracks me up every time, I'll do that. Or there were some podcasts I listened to for a while that were short fiction, and those I saved. Although I saved them sort of for no reason. I didn't go back and re-listen to them for the most part. It was weird.
I mean, I've listened to old podcasts before and I've found them entertaining, but not like, wow, I'm glad those are there so I can listen to them over and over. You know, nothing like that.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, I'm glad that it was there for me to listen to, and that's great. But like, I don't know. I don't think you and I are particularly sentimental. I don't have a bookshelf full of like photo albums or something either.
No, in general, I am not. I was when I was younger, but I am not. The older I get, the less I am.
Yeah.
I'd be curious. You guys go to the blog and tell us your thoughts on this. Assuming you ever get to hear this episode.
Yeah.
See if that happens. If not, well, it's been a fun time. It's going to be weird to know that we didn't have an audience, but we'll see. All right, we should wrap this up. Tune in next week where I will either find that flash drive or come up with a safer alternative, I think. Yeah, that's about it.
Okay.
Even though we're all trapped here all the time, I still value the weekend, so I'm glad that's coming.
Yep.
All right. Bye-bye, everybody. All right, I stopped recording the podcast. Oh, wait. No, it's I didn't stop.
Yeah.
I hit stop, but it's not stopping. Yes, I do want to stop.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.